I'll tell you what, this is the number one, when I go around the state, and I get to go around the state to a lot of different places and visit with our NFIB members, this is the number one thing that comes up.
Of all the things. There's a lot of things that happen in business. There's a lot of things to complain about in business. The
closest second is probably healthcare, but business, personal, property tax, and tax is my number one thing that people are like, I don't understand why we're paying this.
Even bigger than healthcare.
Well, think about it like this.
Y'all, this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey guys, welcome back to Y'allitics. You know, Wheeler, Texas likes to talk about being a business-friendly state. Mm-hmm. Right? The Texas miracle, huge growth here over the past 25 years. Texas has something, though, a tax that nine other states have against businesses that I honestly didn't know about.
Yeah, so they talk about being very business-friendly here in this state. The funny thing is that sometimes the walk doesn't totally match the talk, and it takes a long time to get something changed that has just sort of been on the books forever, and, you know, it's hard to get that thing removed, even if there's decent support for it in Austin.
Yeah, Texas businesses have been taxed for years, for decades with this single tax, and that's what we're going to talk about in this episode here. I've been trying to think the whole day today, what can I quiz you on?
Okay, did you find something?
What can I quiz you on? Well, we were going to shoot this at another location. I had a quiz for you over there, but it's not applicable here to back to the Y'allitics World Headquarters. So I'm not.
Yeah, we were kicked out of a place before we even began, which is really strange. Yeah, I would understand it after we begin and after they get to know us. But, we won't go into it.
Even before. So are we getting a reputation?
We must be.
The streets are talking about us.
I was figuring it had to be you.
Yeah, it's not me. The streets are talking. But, so whatever you've heard is not necessarily the case.
So we're and of all things today, I mean, we're not talking about something that, you know, creates big political fights or anything like that. It's not a hugely partisan issue. It's a business inventory tax, which sounds kind of dry probably to most people. It's also called the business personal property tax. And it can sound dry, but you're going to be asked about this in next month's election. Hopefully you know that there's an election next month. Everybody's focused on the primaries next year and in the midterms next year. There's a lot of constitutional amendments that are on the ballot here in Texas in November of this year. And, you know, relatively few people usually show up to those elections. And this talks about how a lot of your money here in Texas gets spent. And so it's worth showing up for.
Do you vote in those elections?
Absolutely.
Do you really?
Absolutely.
I need to look up your
voter history. It's money, man. It's about the money.
No, I think you're right. But no, this is a low turnout election, these constitutional amendments for the state. This one's Prop 9, Proposition Number 9. And every time you read these things, every proposition,
it's the
full. They're all legalese, and you know, you have a bunch of attorneys sitting around writing this and thinking, who can use the best Latin phrase to add to this to make it as confusing as possible?
We did an episode a few years ago.
We
titled it "Who the Hell Wrote These" or something like that.
So this one is Prop 9, and it's going to ask you to whether you want to raise the exemption for business personal property tax from $2,500. To $125,000. And Texas businesses are saying, yes, please vote for this. Vote yes on this proposition. And in fact, I was curious, how does this really impact businesses? And the National Federation of Independent Business put us in touch with a local client of theirs. It's called Fox Scientific. It's in Alvarado. They sell industrial laboratory equipment. Hmm. Chemicals, all kinds of high-tech stuff that you and I didn't study it long enough for in science class and biology
class. And
even
if we had, we would have done terribly. Yeah.
So there's a guy named Tim Green who owns this company, and he's been spending thousands of dollars. I asked him, how much have you been spending? How much would this save you? He wouldn't get into the specifics on this, but he did talk about if this passes, if voters say, yes, let's raise this personal property tax exemption, this is really going to impact our business, our customers, and our employees. Here's what Tim Green told us.
Tim, lay this out for us here. So if voters approve Prop 9 in November, what will that mean to your business specifically?
Well, it's going to help us with health insurance.
How so?
With, Well, it helps us with a little bit extra cash and revenue with some, you know, health insurance. Maybe we can change some of the little bit of the deductibles, right? It always helps with a little bit extra cash in the pocket. And I've made the comment in the past, every little bit helps, and that's true today. So, you know, I think that stands true today. Every little bit helps.
Why is it? I think of Texas as this business-friendly state. I mean, that's what lawmakers would have you believe. I didn't realize this existed, and this just seems like a tax that should have been gone a long time ago. It seems very, you know, West Coast to me, without insulting our West Coast friends out there.
Jason, I agree. We have a satellite branch in another state, and we don't pay inventory tax there.
How in the world has this survived for so long?
That's a great question, Jason. I wish I could answer that question.
As it stands right now, Tim, how much inventory tax do you have to pay on your inventory?
Well, I don't want to broadcast that out, Jason, but good question, but I think it's too much. Whatever that number is, it's too much.
Well, if this passes in November, I mean, will that substantially cut it or what?
It'd be helpful. It'll help, absolutely.
And then that money would end up in spread across the business in certain different ways to benefit employees and
you
other things
bet,
too,
absolutely. It will help out with health insurance. It'll help out with maybe payroll. It could contribute to some cost of living increases. I mean, just there's all kinds of beneficial ways I could see, and not just us, but other wholesale distributors. You know, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of those in Texas. And Texas is a great state to have a business in. And, you know, it's not just me, but other wholesale distributors and other manufacturers in our state. And this is a great place to have a business in.
So Texas is one of nine states with this tax. Texas, the reason I say that and emphasize that is because Texas leaders love to brag about how Texas is such a great state to do business.
Yes, so let's bring in Jeff Burdett here. He's our guest today. He's the state director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Jeff, you just came in from Austin today to be with us here, so thanks for that. Right off the bat, let's ask then, this does sound odd for Texas. This has been talked about year after year after year. What took this so long?
Well, thank you for having me, first of all. So let me back up just a little bit, because a lot of people don't know what the business personal property tax is. And so the way I explained it when I would testify in front of committees or have staff meetings or just around the Capitol, if you don't have a small business, you don't know what this is, or maybe a bigger business, you might know what it is, but small businesses are really affected by this. So if you took a business and you turned it upside down and shook it, everything that falls out is subject to the business personal property tax. So your desk, a computer, a chair, a file cabinet, but also the inventory for making whatever you're making, machines for making whatever you're making, even the raw materials waiting to be made into something, is all part of this business personal property tax, also called the tangible personal property tax here in Texas. And it's been around since the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had, in about 1985, there was a exemption amount that was put in at $2,500.
So you could exempt $2,500.
You could exempt the first $2,500. Now, we've gone 30 more years without an exemption amount, and we know how much things have cost since then. And so now we were able to get that raised up during the legislature to $125,000, subject to our Proposition 9, because it was a business personal property tax, and all property taxes are in the Constitution, and so we had to have a two-thirds vote on both sides, which passed easily, and we were able to get that done. But now we need the voters to come out and get the final part of that so it can go into effect.
What was the sticking point all those years to getting to this point? I mean, this Texas legislature, elected leaders in Texas always talk about wanting to be, you know, pro-business and business-friendly. What took so long? Because we see it just sailed through the House and Senate.
Right. So it's a local tax, right? So the counties are the ones assessing this tax. So what the state of Texas did this year is with some of the surplus money, they were able to give about $1 billion in the next biennium of surplus money back to cover some of that for the school district part of that. And so it's a, because it's a local tax, it's not really up to the legislature, but it is in the fact that we can do an exemption on that amount. And then the state of Texas made good on it by actually investing money in it as well, which I think is going to help that.
So we have a lot of money right now. That's the reason Texas Texans and Texas businesses are getting this exemption.
Yeah, there was some money that was out there, and you know what we've done a lot in Texas recently is dedicate that to homestead exemptions,
sure,
right?
Property
or
taxes.
Some other property taxes. But the businesses hadn't gotten a lot of that. But I was really proud of this legislature. The governor came out and put this in a state of the state speech. The lieutenant governor. The speaker, all of these folks were really behind it this time, and we got some momentum, and they said, let's give some of the businesses, especially the small businesses in Texas, because all businesses will be able to use this, but small businesses, this means something to them.
And explain what this means to them. For businesses that have an inventory, let's say, like Tim Green we just heard from a moment ago, what does a $125,000 exemption mean, and what do they do with this extra money?
So we are looking at, it could be, depending on how your business is set up, but we think it's going to be between $2,500 to $3,000, you know, for a regular business, depending on what your business is. I've heard businesses that say they'd be $5,000, $6,000. And that may not sound like a lot for a big company, but for a small company, my average size business at NFIB has 10 employees. Mm-hmm. Half of our business have five or less employees. So that actually is money that they can reinvest back. They can hire more employees. They can do things that actually, you know, instead of giving it to the state, giving it to the local taxing jurisdiction, they could use that to reinvest in their business.
But just to be clear here, people hear a $125,000 exemption and they go, that's a lot of money. It's an exemption, though.
Right.
This is not going to be a windfall by any means for most businesses.
No, that's right. It's not $125,000 in their pocket, right? It's more like $2,000 or $3,000 back that they can get. But again, that's $2,000 or $3,000 that we don't need to be paying. You know, small businesses are taxed, you know, when they buy stuff, right? I mean, so all that stuff I said, you know, when you bought it, your computer, your desk, your chair, you pay taxes on it. When you sell that inventory, you're going to pay taxes on it. So this is just, honestly, an extra layer of tax that is really unnecessary.
And for people who don't realize it, most of the businesses in the country, and especially in Texas, what, 70-80% of the businesses in this state are small businesses, aren't they?
Yeah, we say 95%.
Is it 95?
Is it our small businesses. So yeah, the most, you know, and we employ about half of the workforce. So it's, but it's 90+%, 95% of all businesses are small businesses. And again, employing half of the people too. So yeah. I mean, that's a trickle down effect that helps.
Now, Jeff, you mentioned a moment ago that we've seen ballot initiatives like this before here in Texas, and these constitutional amendments relating to homestead exemptions, which I think a lot of voters can get behind and fully understand what that is, because sure, that's money directly in their pocket. This one is a little bit more of a gray area for most voters, I would think, and they might wonder, well, how's this going to help me if I do this? How does this help most people?
Well, I think businesses, especially small businesses, are, and Main Street in your town is what makes your town, right? I mean, that's the people who are out there supporting the Little League. They're the ones that are on the boards and local food bank, and these are the people who are matter in your community, the people who do stuff and what makes your community great. So why don't we help these small businesses out a little bit? And there is still an opportunity, because there is another homestead exemption on the ballot as well. Yeah. And so vote for that too. That's great. And there's a senior exemption as well. There's 17 total amendments, and I would say vote for, I mean, they all got through the process as a two-thirds vote, which means they had bipartisan support. Yeah. They were all signed by the governor, and now they're on a ballot. And so you've got a lot of good initiative. There's a water initiative out there too. So, I mean, take a look at these. But to your point, Jason, there was it's going to be a low turnout election, right? And the ones where you don't have a congressional ballot, you don't have the state legislators running, you don't have a governor running, it's a low turnout. And we've seen as low over the last probably five or six elections in the off-year elections, as low as 5% voter turnout.
Which is terrible, that 5% of the people are making the decisions
but
for all of us.
But only up to like 18%. So you're still going to look like, if you had just knocked it out of the park, you'd have 20% vote in this. So you want to talk about one vote matters, this is a time where your vote is actually going to matter.
Oh, yeah.
So the thing that's behind all this is the surplus that the state has. Are you concerned that when the state hits bad times, hopefully it won't, but likely it will, that this could go away? Are businesses concerned about that?
We're not concerned about that, because I think that with it being a constitutional amendment, you'd have to go back two-thirds the other way. Yeah. And so I'm not concerned about that. And again, it's for the average business, we're talking about $2,500, $3,000. So we're not talking about an exceptional amount of money at this point. But, you know, when you start giving out, you know, giving back money, I think that would be very hard to do at this point.
Yeah, Tim said that, you know, he's going to use the extra money to buy down some of employees' health care costs. What, do you think that, like Jason was asking, do you think consumers are actually going to see anything out of this? Lower prices, or maybe not as much of price hikes?
Yeah, I hope so. And because we've seen with the inflation, and, you know, you see the inflation on the consumer side, but you don't see it on the small business side. Those guys are having to buy stuff that's elevated prices as well. Hmm. And so the supply cost, and a lot of my small businesses that I talk to all the time, in fact, I was out in San Angelo as a restaurant owner out there, one of my members, it was talking about, you know, he's getting really squeezed on the other side, but he doesn't want to raise prices for his customers that has been, you know, customers for 20 years or 30 years. And those guys get squeezed a lot on that. And so I think anything we can do to help them, they get, and you mentioned it, I mean, healthcare cost has just dramatically increased, especially over the last 5 or 6 years.
You know, you mentioned inflation and that restaurant owner not wanting to raise prices. We've seen plenty of restaurants, though, who have had to raise prices because of inflation. We've certainly all seen it at the grocery store and continue to see it there. We're seeing it at the dry cleaners. We're seeing it at all of these different businesses. And you hear people talking about this all the time, like, oh, my God, everything has gotten more expensive. And I even hear, you know, people who say, well, you know, they think that it's not just inflation. They think that, you know, maybe a business is passing along some cost to me just to, you know, make extra money right now. You know, considering that, after all of these years fighting for this, is it a little inopportune that it goes before voters in a year when people are already feeling like, you know, costs of everything have gone up and maybe they turn a little bit of their ire toward a business? Is it a little bit inopportune?
Well, I certainly hope not. But, you know, these costs have to be borne somewhere, right? I mean, you're going to, like I said, you know, these guys are the same. They're having to buy food at elevated cost, or they're having to buy supplies at elevated cost. And I really do think if you look at what small businesses especially are making, you know, these guys aren't just out here raking it in all the time. They have very, very small margins. I mean, you get a couple of bad months, I mean, that could be the difference between making it and not making it. And there's a lot of small businesses, especially we had during COVID, that closed. I mean, we had tons of businesses, but especially the small businesses had the hardest time then, because they just didn't have any where they could get, you know, income from. And, you know, especially some of the restaurants, but some of the retail stores, you're not allowed to go in a restaurant or a retail store. It's very hard for people to come in there and buy stuff. And so hopefully we'll get some of these businesses. And I'll tell you, a lot of these businesses are still coming out of that. And so having a little bit of incentive and a little bit of, you know, the state cares about us, I think, is important.
In that vein, though, we've talked about what this means for businesses if this happens. What do you see happening if this doesn't get through?
I mean, my businesses are going to try to keep operating. I mean, just like they did in COVID, just like they've done all through any kind of recession or any type of high inflationary environment. I mean, they're going to do the best they can to do what they can in order to keep serving their customers and still being a pillar of their community.
So 41 states don't have a inventory tax, as business personal property tax. Let's zoom out for a moment. Can Texas really say it's business friendly if it has this thing since the 1970s, this 50-year-old tax?
We are business friendly in a lot of ways.
Sure.
And I think if you look at the amount of businesses that move to Texas, obviously we're doing something right out there. And we've got over 3 million businesses in Texas, you know, most of which are small businesses in Texas. And we've got a good environment because what we have here is a lot of opportunity. And, you know, you have growing communities, you have other things. And even though there are some things that we'd certainly like to see some of the businesses, you know, benefit from as well, like we're seeing on the homeowner side, I still think it's a good place to do business generally. And I think there are good communities to do business in.
Jeff, can you talk someone over the fence here? If they're sort of sitting on the fence wondering whether to support this or not, they feel okay about it but not totally sure. We've talked about how there's a cost of this. It's hundreds of millions of dollars that wouldn't go to school districts because those exemptions would add up. It's hundreds of millions of dollars that wouldn't go to local taxing entities like counties and so forth. You mentioned that the state has already taken care of the school district part. They will make up for that money and send that directly. So that part's taken care of. They've also taken care of the other part, the taxing entities, basically saying that, well, they'll be allowed to raise their tax rate to make up for that lost revenue. What do you say to the voter who's sitting on the fence here and thinking, wait a minute, that sounds like in future years, the county may decide to raise its tax rate on me to make up for what they're missing there?
Yeah, I think that you just got to look at as an overall, the county's going to do whatever the county's going to do, right? And so I think that if you look at what small businesses bring for those communities, that the importance that those businesses, I mean, without the small business in your community, what is your community, right? I mean, if everyone's just buying things on Amazon, where do you go? It's going to be a pretty sad, sad state of events. And sad for your communities. But I think that you have to realize that these are not people out there just making millions and millions of dollars. We're talking about small business owners, you know, with small margins, just trying to do a good job out there. And, you know, they're the guys out here fixing your air conditioning, and they're the guys out here that are at your local restaurant. And if those kind of guys go away, you know, you want to call a plumber. You're not going to do that on Amazon.
Please don't take away the air conditioner fixers. Yeah. We need
them. Not in Texas. But there's no organized opposition to Prop 9, right? There's nothing out there that I've seen.
No, in fact, this was very bipartisan. So this was a bipartisan. Yeah, so there's not anything that I know of that on that. Our concern more is that there's just going to be a very low voter turnout. And sometimes there's some opposition to local issues or local propositions that might get people generated up, and they maybe equate all those to the same
thing. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Why the concern? Why the need or the push to really put this in front of voters right now?
Well, Jason, as we talked about earlier, it's been 30 years since the state of Texas made an exemption on this. And we don't want to quit at the two-yard line, right? And so we want to make sure we can push this across the goal line. I think it's great. I think it should be easily passed. And I think we're going to see that on Election Day on the 4th. Early voting does start on the 20th of October. So
that's
anybody
coming
wants
up
to get out there early.
Very soon.
And we should mention that this is sort of a compromise here. I mean, initially, this exemption was much bigger when it came before the legislature this last time around. And this was the whittled down version that, as we said, just absolutely sailed through the House and the Senate. It was unanimous in the Senate. Broad bipartisan support. But this started as a bigger number for this exemption, which, you know, I'm sure a lot of businesses were thinking, please let that get through. But this is a more modest number now.
It is. And you're right. It was started at the House version started about at 250. The Senate had a little bit different where they separated
out $250,000
exemption. And then the Senate had one where they exempted out partially the inventory and then had business personal property or tangible personal property kind of separated out. So it was a little different kind of
complex
scheme.
Yeah.
So they all kind of got together and came up with the, you know, kind of a compromise to your point, which was, it wasn't shoot the moon number. It was still a pretty modest number if you think about 30 years and the inflation and things
And if you also think about the fact that so many other states don't have any of this,
right.
It's not a matter of, you know, quibbling over the exemption. They just don't have this tax.
So there are states that have, some of them have an inventory, some of them have a tangible personal property, but we're only one of nine that has all that stuff all together. So it's a different way of, you know, looking at things. And again, it was put in the 1970s, so who knows what they were looking at in the 1970s. But as all of these taxes go on, I mean, it's very, very hard to get rid of a tax once you get it, you know. And so you find that on
that,
whether that be, you know, your local property taxes or your homeowner's property taxes or this business personal property tax. It's very hard to make those go away once they're there.
So beyond tax savings, how do you think Prop 9, if voters approve it, is going to influence business decisions, whether it's buying more stock or it's hiring more people, et cetera?
Well, I can tell you that we did a deal in the federal level, in the Big Beautiful Bill. I'll just back up for there. In the Big Beautiful Bill, there was a 20% small business exemption that they had that was set to expire in 2025.
Yeah.
But in the Big Beautiful Bill, that got continued permanently. And I can tell you, and I'm going to equate that because I think it's the same thing, is that our business owners, if they can't look out 3 months, 6 months, 9 months with some type of tax certainty, without some type of regulatory certainty, they have a really hard time making those type of decisions. And so being able to do things like that, On the 20% small business exemption, which is for the pass-through companies, so it's like 85% of small businesses are applicable to that. And then things like this really make, you know, encourage businesses, honestly. They encourage them to be able to, hey, I think this is going to be a good tax environment going. I think we're going to keep doing things good. And it, you know, maybe just encourage me for another month, another 2 months down the road.
And one reason, you know, Texas cities, counties, school districts can't quit this. Did I read this correctly, that this tax creates $7 to $8 billion annually?
You read that correctly.
$7 to $8 billion.
Yep.
So lawmakers with the surplus, they needed to come up with that money to at least supplement some of this.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Yeah, that's right. And voters. So they had about 500 million of that. So yeah. That tells you, even with that, how much it would have to go to, you know, the
to
exemption amount.
Out.
So you, I mean, it, and as that goes higher, obviously that gets way more expensive as it goes up. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about $500 million is only of that, which is still, I mean, significant, but not when you start talking about $8 billion.
A lot of money involved.
While we're on the subject of bigger numbers like that, though, you talk about, you know, boiling this down to individual businesses. You know, it's modest. You know, their savings would be modest, as you mentioned. I think you said $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000, whatever it may be. You multiply that now times all of the businesses in the state that could qualify for this exemption. And I think you've talked about this overall big number. What is the overall savings for businesses in this state, and how significant is that? What does that do?
So overall, it's the state portion is $500 million. So that would be the school district's part, is what they estimated, and that came out of the fiscal note there in the legislature. In addition to that, there'll be some county part of that. So we may ask, let's add it maybe, I'm going to throw out a big number, like $200 million on top of that or something like that.
So that would be overall savings for these businesses.
Probably about $700. Yeah, I would guess it was probably in the $700 million.
How significant is that? What does that do? You know, let's say if, you know, business owners don't just stick that in their pockets, and that actually goes toward reinvestment in the business or hiring or wages or health care or whatever for employees. How significant is that?
The business owners I talk to are always reinvesting in their business. So it's not like, I mean, I just don't see the guys that are sticking an extra $20 in their pocket and doing, that's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to build this business. They're trying to grow this business, and they're trying to hire more employees. And, you know, that's been very difficult for folks too, just because obviously wages are very high. And then also just the access to labor has been lower than you would think it is, especially in Texas. And so anything that they can do, even if it's add $1 an hour to somebody's salary, it might be the one that keeps them.
And just to, I hate the cliche, but to put a finer point on that.
I say that all the time. You think that's a cliche?
And I can't stand the cliche. That's why I can't stand it, because
you
say it all the time.
But here you are saying it.
No, but you know, just for clarity on that, if voters pass this, what do you expect the result to be in Texas?
I think there will be more reinvestment in the businesses. I mean, I think
small businesses will grow.
Small business will hopefully grow, and we'll have, you know, be able to retain their labor, be able to attract new labor, and then that just kind of snowballs on itself, right? And so if you can do that, and again, like I said, I talk to these small business owners every day, and these guys are all about reinvesting in their business. And
they tell you a lot about this tax when you talk to them.
I'll tell you what, this is the number one, when I go around the state, and I get to go around the state to a lot of different places and visit with our NFIB members, this is the number one thing that comes up.
Of all the things. There's a lot of things that happen in business. There's a lot of things to complain about in business.
The closest second is probably health care, but business, personal property tax, and tax is my number one thing that people are like, I don't understand why we're paying this.
Even bigger than health care.
Well, think about it like this. I mean, if you look at those businesses, not only you pay that this year, you're going to pay it again next year. So you own, let's say you buy a computer or you buy this chair right here, you're going to pay your property tax on it this year. You're going to pay on it next year. And then you're going to pay again till you get rid of it. So you might pay on it. Well, I had a guy that was it was a mechanic shop, and he told me that he had the shelf that he just keeps, this old shelf, his dad, he's a second generation business owner, his dad had the shelf that they just keep their tools on. And he's been paying business, personal property tax for 50 years on the shelf. Jeez. Now it may not be that much, you know, and it
that's
might
an expensive shelf now,
but I mean, for goodness sakes, I mean, you're still paying taxes on a shelf that's 50 years old.
They may,
I mean,
have,
that's
paid
crazy.
More now in taxes on that shelf than they paid for the shelf,
for sure. And that, and so it's just kind of stories like that when you hear that and you're like, this is, and this is what I'd like voters to know, is, I mean, this is, does that seem fair to you? And if it doesn't, then, you know, I mean, what if all the stuff you bought in your house got taxed year after year? I mean, I certainly wouldn't like that.
So lawmakers found the $500 million, and that's going to take out the school portion of what this money goes towards. How about the cities and counties, though? Are they going to be on the hook and miss out on some of this?
They have the
money?
Ability to make whole, and so they can do that. But yeah, they will be. They can figure that out
they
or
can
not.
Raise rates
they can kind of adjust it a little bit. So that portion, but the school district is by far the
biggest
part.
Yeah.
If you had to, off the top of your head, estimate how many business owners we have here in Texas, what would that number look like?
So I can tell you some of the stuff. So I'll just, NFIB, we have 20,000 small business owners that are members of our organization. The stuff I've seen from SBA, I think it was around 3.5 million businesses in Texas, or small businesses in Texas. But again, that's going to be, you're capturing 95% of.
But all of those have an owner. And I would imagine, I mean, how much are you like whipping your own members and whipping business owners to actually go out and vote in November? Because again, these are very low turnout elections for these constitutional amendments usually, but it would seem that you would have the numbers right there if you got every business owner to actually go out and vote on in the, for their own interests.
I've said that. I've made that exact point. I said, I think if I get my 20,000 votes, you know, my 20,000 members plus their families out, we can win this deal just with them. I mean, right. It should be enough to do that. So I've been going around the state. That's what I do. I go around and where have I been? I've been in San Angelo last week, Longview, Mansfield. I mean, I'm going to all these different, going to Kyle tomorrow. So I mean, just going to different places where we can meet with our small business owners, let them know
that
this is
out there. Sound like a Johnny Cash song, all these places you've been.
Oh, I know, right? It's on the road again, right?
And that's so, Willie Nelson.
Yeah, it is Willie Nelson. Yeah.
I've been everywhere as a Johnny Cash song.
There you go. Yeah. But I think if we can get those guys out, and that's what we're trying to do, and we're doing a campaign. You know, we send out a lot of mailers, and we're doing kind of a digital campaign with our members to let them know that this is out here, that's important, and that we need to get out there and get this across the finish line.
And then, Jeff, final plea to our listeners here on why they should show up November 4th or go vote early and vote for Prop 9.
Yeah. Let's help our small businesses out there. Let's help them reinvest in your communities. Let's help the people who help you every day and make your community a great place to live.
Jeff, thanks so much for being here with us. Keep logging those miles. You're probably going to have a busy couple of weeks ahead of you.
I will, in fact.
Good luck to you guys.
Thank you.